This is where prayer is found in its most urgent form. Prayers for the kingdom. So listen, every time over, again, almost 20 years, men and women and children walk to the front of the church, give their lives to Jesus Christ, find themselves in the baptism tank. Every time that happens, that's the kingdom of God advancing. And that's by the prayers of God's people. And every time the beauty and the glory and the passion and the excitement and the joy, those are answered prayers of your kingdom come.
Good day, Live in the Light listeners. You are joining us on a great day, an important day in our series, First Things First, and we are diving into the topic of prayer. In the life of a Christian, prayer is the easiest and hardest thing to do, isn't it, Robbie?
It is. We say that a lot around the church that we belong to. We do, yeah. Why is it the easiest thing to do? Prayer is the easiest thing to do anytime, any place, anywhere. Jesus always ready to hear. The hardest thing to do, why? Because your flesh hates it and Satan's terrified of it. We need to learn again and be reminded of prayer. I have found, Shannon, there's a lot of people out there, they nod their heads when it comes to prayer. Yeah, yeah, I believe in prayer. And then you say, well, how's your prayer life going? And then all of a sudden it gets silent. Because the difference between acknowledging on paper and living out with our lives, that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's for individuals, that's for marriages, that's for friends, that's for churches, that's for leaders. So this is such an important message as part of our foundational series, First Things First, Unceasing Prayer. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6. And I pray your mind will be renewed, your heart will be encouraged. As always, Live in the Light listeners, take a few seconds and let us know how the Lord is impacting your heart, especially through a foundational series like this. Our team would love to hear from you, where you are, and what the Lord has been saying to you in seeking to change your life towards His glory, again, through your life. That would be such a blessing for us. Would you do that today? You can email, you can call, get us on our website. We would love for that to happen. But today, Shannon, man, prayer is everything. We say at our church, too, without prayer, we're dead. Why? It's just good theology, right? Apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. So therefore, one of the best ways we lean on Him is through prayer. So Lord, may the simplest thing sometimes become the most powerful, and may we rejoice in the call to prayer today.
All right, the foundation of prayer today is found in Matthew chapter 6, and this is the ultimate model of prayer in Scripture because the instruction comes from Jesus Himself. So don't let your familiarity, if you have it, with this passage allow you to coast through the message. Lean in a little bit. Get out a pen. Turn the volume up. Let's get right into Matthew 6 with today's message, Unceasing Prayer.
Please find a copy of God's Word and open it to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we are today. And this is the fourth week in our series, First Things First, the foundational values of Hope Bible Church. It's been an encouraging time. I pray that you personally have been encouraged just to go back and to remind ourselves as to that which is most vital. And again, as we are doing this series, one of the things I want you to think about, which we are very, very passionate about here at Hope, is this series is really designed around, another way you could say it's designed around, there are certain things that God guarantees to bless. I want you to think about that. Like, this is one of the main principles of wisdom from Scripture that guides my life and our church and my family and our staff team and the churches that we love to be a part of. Is there are certain things that God guarantees to bless? And I ask you, would you know what those are? Like with an open Bible, not talking about the top of our heads or try what we think, but what does God tell us? Who is the person that God guarantees to bless? What is the church that God guarantees to bless? And it's not supposed to be a secret. And the whole idea then is, if God promises to bless such a person or bless such a church, wouldn't it make sense then if this church and His church were built upon such things? I just think the answer is obviously yes. And so throughout this series, that's exactly what we're doing. God guarantees to bless the authority of his word. Any life that's built on his word and the authority of his word in the face of everything else we face in life, he promises to bless that. God guarantees to bless the faithful preaching of his word in the gospel. He always has, he always will. I mean, any church that closes the Bible is really dumb, okay? Because God promises, this is the very gift I've given you. This is what I promise to bless, is the faithful proclamation of my word, again, highlighted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week, God guarantees to bless a genuine heart of worship for him. Like, he guarantees to bless those who seek to love him with heart, soul, mind, and strength. He guarantees you'll be blessed as you seek to worship him with your life. Like, it's not an if and it's not a maybe. It's an absolute guarantee. If you put yourself in the path of faithful devotion and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, his will be accomplished through your life. 100% guaranteed. I commend it to you. It's just wisdom. What else are you going to do? Worship self, worship the world. I guarantee you will not be blessed in the long run. And so again, it's so simple. Not easy, but it's so simple. Super hard, filled with opposition. Trials come against us. The enemy's terrified of such things. And yet it's so simple. And then today, here's another thing God guarantees to bless. Lies, family, leadership, a church that believes firmly in the power of prayer. He guarantees to bless dependence. This is the pillar in our foyer, believing firmly in the power of prayer. We're going to unpack that truth today. Our sermon title is Unceasing Prayer, to keep with the kind of where we've been in our alliteration throughout this series, but believing firmly in the power of prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us today. Help us to believe and help us to pursue, help us to be convinced theologically and then practically through our lives as to the power of prayer. This has been from the very beginning of our church, from the very, very beginning. We've said this sentence over and over again, without prayer, we're dead. Why? It's just good theology. That's all that is. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so one of the greatest ways we depend on the Lord is prayer. Then without prayer, we don't stand a chance. If you're not praying, you're done. If I'm not praying, I'm done. If the church isn't praying, we're done. Like, it is that simple. And yet so many believers don't pray. There's a disconnect. There's something wrong. Everything I'm saying to you right now, I preach to myself over and over and over, because every day my flesh wants to go in the way of Robbie. Every day my flesh wants to depend on self. I have to renew my mind as to the reality of what is actually true. That God works in and through people, men and women and children and marriages and family and leaderships that are built on dependence upon him. There are no exceptions ever throughout history. He works in those who rely on him exclusively. And the greatest way we prove our dependence upon the Lord is by living out lives of authentic prayer again in him. Here's a couple of quotes just to further the conviction at this point right now too. Love these, and over the last many, many years. Douglas Gregg, prayer is the oxygen of the spiritual life. Without it, we die. Good, prayer is our oxygen for our spiritual lives. Without it, we die. Edwin Harvey, a day without prayer is a day without blessing. That's true. And a life without prayer, church without prayer, is a life for church without power. And we're going to find out why today those statements are true. So again, Lord, help us. There's so many passages we could turn to today on prayer. I love how much the Bible speaks on prayer. But we will go through the very foundation of prayer. We will go to the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus instructed us in terms of prayer. I think it's good timing to do that. Let me just say this. As we enter in now to Matthew 6 and the Lord's Prayer, there's a danger of something that has been so, even in our day, a prayer, something that's been so familiar to so many. What's the danger of familiarity? Well, it can become rote. It become routine. It can lose its power. It doesn't, in itself doesn't, but with our lives, we just get so used to it. We lose the ability to really think about what we're actually saying. So we're praying for a fresh anointing by God's Spirit today upon this beautiful text. and upon our lives before him. Please, Lord, would you do that? I want to remind you too, as we go to Matthew 6, this is not Jesus giving the exact content of our prayers. This is exactly how we should pray. Nothing wrong with praying this prayer, obviously, as it is, but it is meant to be a model prayer. It is meant to be a how-to prayer. It's meant to be a kind of like, here's a good outline of how we are to orient our prayers. This is what Jesus gave to us. So let's take a look now at Matthew 6. I just want to give a little bit of context as we read this. Let's start at verse 5. And when you pray, Jesus said, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to study and pray in the synagogues and the street corners that they may be seen by others. It's not what prayer's about. Truly I say to you, they've received the reward. They're all about trying to get attention for themselves. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them. That's good and instructive. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Here we go. Pray then like this. Again, notice, pray then like this. Here's a model of how we are to pray individually, but also notice corporately. Again, the pronouns used within this, again, are plural. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let me just read verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, Jesus says, pray then like this. This is not meant to be verbatim. It is meant to be a model. And we learn four elements of prayer here from Jesus. This enters us into our outline right now. Jesus models a prayer for us. Number one, that is like this. It begins with worship. Jesus models a prayer for us that begins with worship. Again, if you look at verse 9, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Again, most of us have heard this prayer in some form thousands and thousands of times. Not all of us. A lot of us have. The danger is you've heard it so much, as we said, it loses its meaning and impact. Like, for instance, how often have you begun a prayer to your God, to our God, with a Father in heaven? Father in heaven. And you just say, Father in heaven. And as we say that, there's no conscious affection. There's no conscious understanding of the phrase we just uttered. Father in heaven, right? Like what we're actually saying. And so many times, again, it happens to me too, and it happens to you. We just say things out of routine, and we just, blah, 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 Father in heaven, God and Father, whatever it is. And we're not even really understanding the very words that we're just communicating and who we're actually speaking to. So what I love to do often, and I try to do this often, is to stop myself, including this morning, to slow down and even say audibly, I like to talk out loud. Do you like to talk out loud? I don't really care who's listening. You know, just it's just what it is. It helps me concentrate sometimes. And to say, Father, you are my Father. And even repeating that phrase, when I'm praying, Father in heaven, Father, you are my Father. I belong to you. And right now, Father, I pray to you are real. You are good. You are awesome. I am your child. I am chosen. I am weak. I'm frail. But you are my Father. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It really, really helps me to remind myself of my most important theology in terms of who I am and who it is who cares for me, just by simply stopping and saying out loud and meditating on the phrase, Father in heaven, Father, you are my Father. I mean, when you start to do that, one of the things that happens is you realize I'm not praying to an unknown God. I'm not praying to some distant, uninterested God. I'm not praying to some angry father waving his disappointed finger at me. That's not what's happening here. I'm quite literally praying to our Heavenly Father. And you start to think about the character of my Father and your Father. And you start to dwell upon the fact that He loves us with an infinite compassion and an infinite mercy and an infinite grace, again, and an infinite care upon our lives. Like, this is the Father that we are praying to as we even begin, again, and to communicate with Him. And it starts to change everything. This is the Father that I belong to. I've quoted Spurgeon often, who said, and I'll paraphrase, that as earthly parents, when we hear the cries of our children, when you as a parent hear the cry of your child, you leap and run to care for them. You literally, if they cry in anguish, you run through the house to find out if they're okay. Those are earthly parents. How much more will our Father in heaven rush to the aid and the cries of His children? A perfect Heavenly Father who has no error, He has no weakness, infinitely caring again for His children. How quickly He rushes to the aid in His way, in His perfect wisdom. And I love thinking about that because I know what it is to be a dad running to the aid of my kids. And then my Father in heaven, how much He does that for me and you. It fills my heart with love and worship and prayer and renews my mind as to what's actually happening. And time out right now, even what we've just done the last couple of minutes, do you see how prayer takes on a new form? Like, already many of you are starting to pick up a different level of prayer by simply meditating on a phrase of two or three words. Our Father. It changes everything right from the start. And there's many believers in Jesus Christ who don't even get to this part because it does take some time to think, to stop, to reflect, and to consider. I try to remind myself and our team often too, when you pray in, you know, public settings, when you pray here in our services, when you pray in your group settings, when you, you know, pray with people from the church, just think about what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. What I can't stand is that when we are up in the front of something and we're just praying out of habit and we start throwing cliches around, you know, we throw these cliches in prayer. I'm like, what was that? Like, just regurgitating phrases, empty phrases, like in Matthew 6, that just like, did that mean anything to us at all when we said that? Or are we just throwing out phrases we've heard all our lives? I try to encourage myself and our team, stop for a second and think about who you're praying to, not trying to impress the people around you by sounding spiritual, not praying so people somehow will think that somehow you're kind of close. But think, I'm actually praying to God. He's the one listening. Audience of one, and others can join in and hear. That's powerful as well. The chance to do that. Who cares what people think? Care what God thinks, a heart sincere before Him and desires to pray to Him. And this is when we think on such things, again, our prayers are brought to new levels. Listen, our Father in heaven, He loves you. He delights in you. He's chosen you. He's adopted you. If you're saved in Jesus Christ, all those things are true. Make it personal. Our Father in heaven. Then verse 9, it continues and He says, Jesus teaches us to pray, hallowed be Your name, the worship, the prayer of worship to our God. Hallowed is such a great word. Hallowed here means kept holy or reverence. Hallowed means speaks of veneration or awe. So this is where church, this is where we must understand that prayer in its most beautiful fundamental form is worship. We got to remember that. We always go so quickly to prayer as requests, which are good and important. We'll get there. But prayer in its most beautiful form, as Jesus models for us, the beginning of prayer is worship. It's He is worthy, as we've been taught for so many years. It's seek His face before you seek His hand. Prayer is worship. Let's consider why His name is hallowed. This is such an important step in our true worship and prayer of our God. Look at this slide right here on the screen. Just think about only our God is such. This is the character of our God. This is such a beautiful powerful principle. I was sitting in our prayer summit last weekend. Pastor George Sherman was leading that beautiful time that we had. Sometimes we do prayer summits again for a morning, 3-4 hours of prayer together, able to be a part of that. And in one of the handouts that they had, it was just the names of God. It was the attributes of God here. And I sat and looked at these and just as I dwelt on them, it's amazing how eyes go off of self and onto God. Only our God is all-knowing and all-powerful and eternal. Only our God is gracious. Only our God is immutable, unchanging. Only our God is incomprehensible. We just can't fully, again, grasp him. He is infinite. He is jealous for our love. Our God is just and long-suffering. He is loving and merciful everywhere at all times, omnipresent. Our God love, he's self-existing. He's self-existing. He needs nothing. He needs no one. He is sovereign. Our God alone is sovereign. He is truth. Our God is truth. He is wisdom. He holds the perfection of wisdom in his character and his glory. Our God is wrath. He will come and judge all wickedness. He is perfect in holiness. This is our God. I'm telling you, you sit on the character of God. We don't do this enough. You sit on the character of God. I don't do this enough. And you dwell on him. And it's incredible what starts to bubble up from your heart and life away from self and onto him. Hallowed. It's amazing how prayers start to bubble up simply by dwelling on the character of God. Pray then like this. Hallowed be your name. Loved ones, he is worthy to be worshiped. He's the only one who is. Taking the time for eyes off of self onto him. Look what A.W. Tozer said about 60 years ago. He said this, he says, with our loss of the sense of majesty has come the further loss of religious awe and consciousness of the divine presence. I want you to think about that. I want you to stare at that. This is very, very true. We have lost our spirit of worship and our ability to withdraw inwardly to meet God in adoring silence. He continues, modern Christianity is simply not producing the kind of Christian who can appreciate or experience the life in the spirit. This is written 60 years ago, 70 years ago. The words, be still and know that I am God, mean next to nothing. Listen carefully. This is so instructive. Mean next to nothing to the self-confident, bustling worshiper in this middle period of the 20th century. And this right here is describing in many ways why there's so much prayerlessness within the church. We have lost our sense of awe and worship of God. And for that, we repent. We need to repent of how quickly we run to what God will give us as opposed to worshiping him for who he is. Pray then like this, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. You know, J.I. Packer, he says this, he says, he toured around and met all these, you know, evangelical Christians. He says, my fellow believers are constantly seeking to advance in godliness. They're constantly seeking to advance in godliness. But he says this, but they show little interest in God himself. You see, that is so, so key. And that hit me this week, okay? There's so much Bible studies and this and that and all these tutorials and texts and classes, whatever it is, and we want to grow in godliness, but there's an absence of love for God himself. Where God is the answer. God is the joy. God is the satisfaction. God himself is the blessing. Not what he gives us. God is the blessing. Jesus Christ is the blessing. The power of the Holy Spirit in his person in us is the blessing. Loving the Father, he's the blessing. That's the blessing. Few get there. And this is why prayerlessness is so common among, again, the church as a whole. There's so little interest in God himself. We must seek his face before we seek his hand. Jesus says, pray then like this, a prayer that models that begins with worship. Number two, a prayer that longs for his kingdom. A prayer that longs for his kingdom. Look at verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are two meanings to this prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first meaning is Jesus, I pray, as we sang today, Jesus, I pray for you to return to establish your kingdom once and for all, to end the pain and the sin and end death and evil. And all God's people said, Amen, right? This is the prayer. God, your kingdom come, return. This is very powerful to pray. Maranatha, right? Maranatha, oh, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. We need that so much. That's so good and so powerful to pray. I mean, again, if you're like me, there are many days I can't take, honestly, I cannot take the weight and the frustration and the wickedness of my own sin. I cannot stand. Just I imagine the day to be set free from this body of death. As Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Wretched man that I am, I totally resonate with that. And to think that one day Christ will return and all my sin and all the evil and all the wickedness that's in me and surrounds me, all of it will be gone forever in perfection. Like one day it's gonna, yes, Lord, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Imagine that capital D day. Man, and no wonder we sing, oh Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. And the clouds be over back as a scroll, and the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. And even so, it is well with my spirit. It's like, yes, yes, that is such a beautiful portion of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. There's a second meaning, though, too. Your kingdom come is also a prayer for God's kingdom to be established here and now. This is the already. This is we're praying for the already. May it happen now. And the not yet, the return of Jesus Christ. But we are praying now, God, establish your kingdom, the reality here as in heaven, on earth, right now. This is when we realize in Matthew 16, where Jesus says, I will build my church and nothing's gonna stop me. The gates of hell will not prevent me from advancing my kingdom and building my church. This is when we understand and we pray that, listen, this is always awesome, but Jesus says, God uses our prayers to advance his kingdom. Just think about that. See, if we're not praying, stuff isn't happening according to God's will and sovereignty. He works all that out. Our prayers are used to advance God's kingdom. So this is when prayer's not a cute little game, right? Prayer's not sitting down and just saying a few nice things to God and going on with your day. No, no, prayer is advancing the kingdom of God and rescuing people from death and Satan and hell. This is where prayer is found in its most urgent form. Prayers for the kingdom. So listen, every time over, again, almost 20 years, men and women and children walk to the front of the church, give their lives to Jesus Christ, find themselves in the baptism tank. Every time that happens, that's the kingdom of God advancing. And that's by the prayers of God's people. And every time the beauty and the glory and the passion and the excitement and the joy, those are answered prayers of your kingdom come. Many of us want to say, how do I pray according to God's will? Right here, man. You want to pray God's will? You pray kingdom prayers. You know that you are in the will of God. And by the way, just this idea of kingdom versus the world. There are kingdom prayers and there are worldly or selfish prayers. I just saw an illustration this week and I'll say a little bit more about this in a second, but just the devastation of the hurricanes that we've seen through North America and the different impacts of that. And just, I just saw like an illustration, just again, like this week I heard about it and I looked it up. There's a guy, he purchased a very limited edition Ferrari. It was like $1.5 million it cost. He headed a week. It's in Florida, down Fort Myers area. The floods came, filled up his garage, literally lifted his Ferrari and took it off and floating into the street. And just when this guy was all about that, and when I see pictures like that, I'm just like, I hear Jesus say to Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca. or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.